Some chocolate. If anyone ever asks if I need something, the answer is always chocolate. Anything sweet. So I'm going to start just by reading Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 22 again. And then I'm going to try and paint a picture in our minds and see if we can kind of put ourselves in the situation. So Luke 2, 1 through 22. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, the governor, was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So I'll stop there. And I want to paint a picture of what Mary and Joseph did back then. And imagine if we were in their situation. And I'm sure there are some moms in the room. You know what it's like to be pregnant. The last thing you'd probably want to do is go on a long walk. But also, I just want us to remember, all of this was very scandalous. This was unheard of. This was uncomfortable. This was a trying situation, and it wasn't easy for Mary or Joseph. And also, let's remember, they hadn't been married very long. So this wouldn't have been what they would have expected, even in their courtship, building up to marriage, or even in the first few months of marriage. So there's a lot going on for this young couple. And the difference, that there is no exact time difference between Matthew and Luke when it says an angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Marry Mary, she is with child, but marry Mary," and up to Luke. But we could assume it's maybe 7 to 8 months, because it's not long later in Luke that she gives birth. So I think during this time, you know, Mary's got maybe 8 months getting to know Joseph, observe him, laughing with him, telling jokes, doing what new couples do. But also remembering that this is a man that stood by her, agreed to continue with the marriage, protected her, provided a home for her, and probably comforted her as well. So I think Alex and I have been married 4.5 years, I think. I always forget the anniversary. But you do get to observe your partner. You get to observe the person that you're close with, and you begin to trust them, love them more. So Mary would have had time to do this. So I imagine she's had a few months of getting to know Joseph really well, and then he comes to her. Maybe she's laying down on the sofa. She's relaxing because she's quite pregnant at this point. Maybe her feet are swollen. She's not feeling great. And he's like, "Mary," tapping her on the shoulder. "Mary, we need to go for a walk. Just, it's not very far. It's not going to take us that long. We need to go for a little walk. I just need to go register in Bethlehem. Yes, I know, you haven't been there before. It's not a bad journey." I just imagine the dialogue Joseph had with Mary at this point. And I also imagine if Alex came to me and said, "Haley, we need to go for a walk." And I should tell you guys, this walk from where they were to Bethlehem was 80 miles. That's a long, stinking walk. That's a long way. If Alex came to me today and said, "We need to go for a walk," I'm like, no chance, not happening. And so I did some Googling, like you do. The distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem is 80 miles. The shortest route is actually 70 miles, so they could have saved 10 miles, but more than likely they skirted around Samaria, where the Samaritans were, because Jews were not very well liked there. So they would have gone a longer way around. There's also the assumption of how much time it took them. So assuming they walked 20 miles a day at a decent pace, it would have taken them 4 days, walking 8 hours each day. There's no way they did that. Let's remember Mary's quite pregnant. So it could have taken them 7 to 10 days to walk to Bethlehem. It's a long time. That's a very long time. And I think, I always try and put myself in their shoes. What would I have wanted if I had been on this walk? One, comfy shoes. I would have been looking at the Nike website. I would have been looking at all of the comfortable shoe websites, making sure I had the right things on my feet. I would have had the right socks, breathable clothes, clothes that maybe wick away the sweat. That's a new thing. We want the sweat to just roll right off. I want a hat. I want a backpack. I want snacks. I want food. I want an air mattress, a sleeping bag, a charger for my phone, a compass, a map, a light. There's a lot of things I would want. And I'm saying these are the bare necessities of things I would want. I would have said no to doing this walk. I would have said, Joseph, you can see that I'm quite pregnant. Alex, I'm quite pregnant. This is not going to happen. But Mary doesn't say that. We actually don't know what she says, but we know by her actions that she goes with Joseph. Mary doesn't have Nikes on her feet. More than likely, she had on sandals. It was just a sole with a leather strap over her feet. The walk would have been through the desert, potentially, through difficult terrain. The weather, this is another thing I always like to think, and I think here in the UK we do this a lot. We always check the weather. We talk about the weather a lot. It's a very interesting thing. So what was the weather like? You know, Mary and Joseph wouldn't have known to how to prepare for the weather. And I know everyone likes to think Jesus was probably born December 25th. That's probably not true. And I'm sorry to surprise anyone that may have that fixed in their head. There's a couple reasons we don't think Jesus was born in December. The registration. So they're taking this trek to Bethlehem to register in the town where Joseph was from. Caesar Augustus issued this decree that the entire Roman world must register themselves. Everyone had to go to their own city. This is not an order that he would have done this for a couple reasons. Taxation. He wants to know exactly how many people are in his kingdom so he can tax them, chase them down, and collect that money. And then also he wants to consign them to the army. He wants to make sure that he's got a big force to fight for him when he needs that. These are not likable things. Nobody wants to pay taxes. Nobody does it happily. And if you're drafted to war, most of the time, those young men are not happy either. So Caesar at this point, he wouldn't have done this in winter. He wouldn't have made people go and take long journeys to their town in the dead of winter when it was cold and a lot harder to do that. He would have done it in an easier season. So that's one reason, one thought of why it wouldn't be in December. The other part of that is the sheep in the fields. The verse in Matthew tells us, and in Luke, when the shepherds come, that there were sheep in the field, living outdoors. There is a book called The Daily Life in the Time of Jesus that kind of goes through all the surrounding events and circumstances of that time and what people would have been doing. And it says, it adds, they passed the winter undercover, and from this alone, it may be seen that the traditional date for Christmas is in the winter, but it's unlikely because sheep would not have been outside at that point, and shepherds would not have been sleeping with them under the stars. So again, there's a couple other reasons why we think Jesus probably wasn't born in December. But if we go back to Mary, so it's not freezing cold. There's not snow on the ground when they're doing this walk. Thank God. Mary was obedient. I struggle with this, if I'm honest. And I've never been pregnant. I've known many pregnant women, many moms. And I know they've not wanted to leave the comfort of their home, their family, their friends, things that are familiar to them when they know their due date is maybe a couple weeks away. You want a nest. You want to make sure that you have everything comfortable, things around you that are familiar. But Mary doesn't do that. Mary is obedient, and she follows Joseph. The only reason I can think that she did that is because in the months leading up to this point, she got to observe Joseph. She got to see that he was a man of God, that he listened to the Lord, he followed the Lord, that he was kind, he was thoughtful. And those are big things. She had time to get to know him, time to talk to him, watch him, trust him, and see how he cared for her, much like the Lord does for us. This was a man that stood by her. We have to remember this. This was a man that stood by her. This was a scandal. This was unheard of. Everything that happened to them up to this point, just them getting married, was quite scandalous. Also, this is a point where this is not comfortable. This is quite trying on a marriage, having to go through something, deliver a child that I can't understand the Holy Spirit. I don't know what happened here, but there's a child coming, and now there's a long walk to go register. I put myself in these shoes, and I think to my own life, there have been situations that I thought that I would never experience. There are situations that have been quite scandalous. There have been situations in my life that have been uncomfortable and so trying. They have pushed my faith to limits I didn't think I could go. And the encouragement I take from this story of Mary and Joseph, is that God had a plan. God always has a plan. There is an estimate that it was between 4,000 years from Adam to Jesus, and there are over 351 prophecies of Jesus Christ. There is not a coincidence in anything that happened in Joseph and Mary's life. There's not one coincidence that happened leading up to the birth of Jesus. And I can say assuredly today, there is not one coincidence that did not lead you here, but except God directing you. God always has a plan. Even when things are trying, when things are uncomfortable, when you look at a situation and you say, God, it's just the wrong time. I can't do it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, this is the Lord speaking to us, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." There is so much we are going to struggle with in this life. There are so many things. And the only confidence I have in the midst of everything is Jesus. And I thank God for the obedience of Mary and Joseph, being obedient, fulfilling prophecies that they may not have even known existed. They didn't have the Bible like we did to pick it up and read and say, oh, is that what they said in Isaiah? They would have heard it in the temple. They may have folded it away in their hearts and memorized it. But I know there are situations in all of our lives today that we may be looking at and saying, I don't have the right shoes. I don't have the right transportation. The circumstances to do this are not good. I don't have the finances. This is really bad. And all I can say today is all God is ever asking of us is our obedience. He doesn't want anything in our lives to be perfect. Actually, that's never the right recipe for God to move. We know that. All God wants is our obedience, our trust in him. Psalm 34, verse 10, the New Living Translation says, "Even strong lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing." God will always make a way in your life. He will always provide. It may not come in the way that you expect. Things may not appear or organize around you the way that you want them to or that you expect them to, but God will always provide. I think it's amazing. Alex and Philipsia read this earlier in Matthew and Luke. The shepherds arrive on the scene to see Jesus, and you know they left gifts. The scripture doesn't tell us that they left gifts, but you know they left gifts. Even if it was just lamb's wool to keep them warm, I would have said yes to that. The magi that later appear, we know they left gifts, and they left gifts of great worth. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh was very, very rare and expensive. God, all he asked was for obedience, and then later on the gifts came. Later on the provision came. There is no way they could have anticipated that. And I just want to encourage everybody tonight, if you're struggling with something, trust God. If you're looking at a situation, you're like, God, I don't see a way through it. I don't have what it takes to do this. Trust God. Whatever he's asking you, trust him. Trust him with your whole heart. Don't lean on your own understandings. Acknowledge him in your life. Acknowledge that he's moved in your life before, that he's led you to this place for a reason. And he will direct your steps. There is not one step that he doesn't direct. There is not one bird he does not feed. So I just want to say that if you're struggling with something tonight, let us know so we can pray for you. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, let us know so we can pray for you. Jesus, we know this phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is awesome. And if you're here tonight and you just want prayer for anything, let us know. We want to pray for you. You know, Christmas is a great time to celebrate friends and family. And the things that build communities. And the thing that builds communities is when we stick together, when we stand by each other, we remind each other and encourage each other, we can get through these situations. We can get through the hard times. We can celebrate when those prayers are answered. So I'm going to close in prayer. And I know we have mince pies and mulled wine and cups of tea later. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for bringing us all here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet reminder of obedience, of Joseph and Mary, and just their obedience and trust in you, Lord. Their obedience led to the greatest gift we will ever know, which is Jesus Christ. Their obedience, Lord, has changed all of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to know him, to follow him, to accept him into our hearts. And Lord, we just ask that you bless this season. You encourage everybody here tonight that no matter what they're facing, Lord, whatever mountain they think or is in front of them, Lord, that you are the God of the impossible that can move mountains. We thank you, Lord, that you're Jehovah Jireh that provides. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your son. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.